visit with Slick Travel Corp the other day, so they've allotted you a journey time.
People have asked, what's so bad about Agenda 21? The founders believed in a separation of powers, but the modern-day framers worked through the United Nations, through bankers working with communist and collectivist systems, and through environmental groups who want to seize land and redirect it for the vision of a few who wish to rule from the top. It's taking away our free will. You know, the American way. To fight against Agenda 21 is to oppose the straitjacket being imposed upon us under global and environmental pretexts. I want you to think for a minute about the existing neighborhood and housing regulations people voluntarily sign up for when they move into different neighborhoods, how tall your grass can be, whether or not you can have a basketball court or a fishing boat or an RV in your front yard, or in many cases, even in your backyard. You've seen the news articles where people aren't allowed to grow gardens in many areas. That is nothing compared to what's coming. If you followed the cap and trade laws that they tried to pass through Congress that were narrowly defeated only because there was a huge outcry, those thousands of pages were going to implement all kinds of new regulations on people's homes, on the kind of cars they can drive, on top of the already existing burdensome regulations. They were going to have housing inspectors, new rules on what kind of light bulbs you can have, and on. It was this endless laundry list. That's the kind of thing we're seeing happening under sustainable development. It's not sustainable at all. I can give you dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, of quotes from leading globalists who say they want to destroy society. Mari Strong, one of the leading advocates for Agenda 21 and a speaker at the United Nations Rio Summit in 1992, said, "Isn't the only hope for the planet that the industrialized civilizations collapse? Isn't it our responsibility to bring that about?" A number of these environmental groups have said things to the same effect. They want to stop growth. That's what smart growth, so-called, is all about. It's not about new developments. It's about controlling and steering where humanity is allowed to go. They say they don't want there to be another United States in the developing world. They don't want other countries to be brought up to our living standards. They want to lower the United States living standards to a third world area, greatly reduce the population across the globe and here at home, and have more and more say in your life, what you're allowed to do on your own land, because it's now going to be rezoned under these sustainable development plans. And it's just like the things we've already seen in China. In fact, the workshop I was at in Elgin for these sustainable communities specifically talked about shop houses where they would have workers live in the same buildings they were working at. That's already going on in China, and it's nightmarish. You've heard about the Foxconn factory.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Yeah, we're into, I don't know, hour number 9 now in the 48-hour broadcast, and the crew is a bit blurry-eyed, but they are kicking butt. We've got the crew split into two. Hey, each crew only has to do 24 hours. That is a very easy, very, very easy workload there. We are joined by the one, the only, for the next hour and 52 minutes, George Norrie, who is nipping at Rush Limbaugh's heels. Not that we're against Rush Limbaugh overall. It's just that it's interesting that he's been the reigning king of talk radio here in the U.S. and worldwide for more than 20 years. And now here comes George Norrie overnights with Coast to Coast AM, which is a time where you've got generally about 10% of the regular audience. But he's almost got as many listeners as Rush Limbaugh now. Is fighting an uphill battle at night when there's about 10% of the listeners. He is still absolutely kicking butt because, well, he's got the courage to bring crazy people, some would say like me, on 9 years ago. Hard to believe it's now been 9 years since George Norrie first brought Alex Jones on the show. And, you know, of all the people that have helped Infowars.com, which was already reaching millions of people with the films and my little syndicated radio show, probably on 30-something stations when George first had me on, or a little more than that, to where we are today, if people ask who really gave you a break, it's George Norrie. It is George Norrie. Now, in the last 5 years or so, Matt Drudge, the number one, you know, sensation when it comes to internet news worldwide, he has really helped get us out as well. But George Norrie, and Matt Drudge, and of course, right in between that, overall, you, the listener, spreading the word. You're the reason we're able to do this and have now 10 reporters and 50-plus crew members and reaching 15 million people a week on internet and talk radio and through films. George reaches 16 to 20 million a week just on terrestrial radio and tens of millions overall every month on the internet. And it is just such an honor that he would spend an hour and a half or so with us tonight. And he said, hey, I want to take calls, Alex. So coming up in about 30, 40 minutes, we'll give the number out and take your calls on any subject. I said, what do you want to cover? And he said, hey, everything. He goes, I'm concerned about this prepper confirmed to be banned to fly because he criticized the NDAA. This is the new, that's how they did that with Jews in Germany. They said, well, you criticize the government, you can't have a business or travel. And we're going to get into Iran situation, the election, so much more with George Norrie of coasttocoastam.com, where I'll be on with him in the first hour tonight, midnight to 1 a.m. Central, I guess 10 to 11 p.m. Pacific tonight at coasttocoastam.com. Or just turn your AM or FM radio on and dial through. You can't miss it on close to 600 radio stations. George Norrie, it is still, I pinch myself to have you here with us tonight. It's so amazing. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure, Alex. I wanted to tell you a real funny Matt Drudge story. Matt and I are very close. And some time ago, he contacted me, sent me a little email, and said, George, I got to get a hold of Alex. Can you get me his number? And I said, yeah, sure. So I went to Tommy, my producer, and I said, look, I need you to get Alex's number over to Matt Drudge. I don't know what he wants, but he wants to talk to him. So I have noticed that a lot of your stories appear on the Drudge Report, and he's interested. You know, what's kind of funny, Alex, is what was conspiratorial years ago with things that you did and things that I did, they're beginning to become mainstream now. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, thanks to you. I mean, I'm not groveling. I only give credit where it's due. We were already growing, would have broken out, had some success, but I'm telling you, you were the nitrous oxide. You know, in the Road Warrior where they got the cars going 200, but then Humongous turns it on nitrous oxide and goes, boom! It's like George Norrie was boom! And then Matt Drudge, boom! Just like really sending us into the stratosphere. So thank you, my friend, because most people in media are egomaniacs. They're not like you and Drudge who really care about the information.
No, not at all. You're absolutely right about that. And I'm also in jubilation tonight because my Detroit Tigers, that's where I was born. They're going to the World Series. They beat the Yankees 4-0. And, of course, as you know, Alex, I spend a lot of time between St. Louis and L.A., my other place. And St. Louis is almost World Series bound. You know, so I may have a chance to see both teams in the World Series.
Talk about a dream come true, rooting for teams for your whole life, and now both of them could be up against each other.
Yep, absolutely. Now, who would I pick? Well, you got to pick Detroit because it's a boy thing. My son was born in St. Louis. He's going to pick the Cardinals, so we'll see what happens.
Very, very exciting. George, where should we start tonight with the hundreds of incredible topics out there?
Why don't we talk a little bit about the Iranian situation?
Yeah, that's getting wild.
You know, I've had Jerry Corsi on the show for at least a year and a half, where we have talked about the Iranian situation, and both of us felt that there'd be some kind of military conflict against Iran about a year and a half ago. It hasn't happened yet. I think it's getting close. My prediction is something's going to happen after the election. I do not believe that the powers that be want anything to get involved with the election one way or another. I think they're a little confused over what candidate would benefit from some kind of military intervention in Iran. But I think something's going to happen. We have seen Iranian hackers attacking the bank system successfully, shutting down websites and things like that. And that's just what we know. We don't know what we don't know. But I just have this gut feeling, Alex, that something is going to happen. It's going to be very, very soon, and all hell could break loose. Let's hope to God it's not as bad as I think it could be. But I think something's going to happen, you know, and it's a double-edged sword. There's a problem here. There's no question that Iran is working on nuclear weaponry along with their nuclear program. I mean, they're doing that. So you have to be concerned over a nation like that spouts the kind of rhetoric and hatred that they have toward Americans.
Well, just to interrupt, Israelis. Which you know I'm the king of, that's it. You know I'm anti-war.
Yeah,
and I don't try to take sides in all this, but I mean the Iranian president every week says, and I went and looked at the translation, he's saying it, we're going to blow Israel off the map. You got a country like Israel with all these nukes, Iran's getting nukes, they wanted to be able to deploy them, and then they're saying, I'm going to nuke you. It's like some guy that weighs, you know, 50 pounds threatening the UFC champion. Why is Iran asking for it? Because I don't want this war. I don't want $10 a gallon gas. But why is Iran just asking for it?
These people are insane. I've got a lot of friends who were Iranians who came here after the Shah of Iran situation, who, by the way, was no Boy Scout. And we can talk about that a little bit later on. But I've got one source who has told me weeks before anything happens in Iran, and I've had it on Coast to Coast, he'll say, look, people are upset, the valuation of our rial is going to go down, that's their currency, and sure enough, a week or two later, it goes down. He's been spot on. He said the people in Iran love the United States overall. He said, we want that kind of government. We want to live that way. We buy blue jeans. We buy cell phones. We like that style. It's the mullahs, these insane people who are out there spouting this hatred, spouting this rhetoric. I mean, you know, we've got nukes, and yes, we used them during World War II, and we stopped the war. We can argue whether it was right or wrong to use it. But I haven't heard the United States threaten to use nukes against any other country ever since. Even in the Cold War during the Soviet Union back in the 60s. I mean, we didn't say, yeah, we're going to launch against you. I mean, the Iranians, the government, talks in terms of using this stuff. Well, you know, when you have a neighbor that says, we're going to blow you off the map, we want a regime change. We want you gone.
Oh, listen, if I had a neighbor that got in my face and said, I'm going to kick your butt, and then he was menacing me with an axe, I'd kick his ass.
You'd have to do something. You could be living right next to him. You know, he could peer over his fence all the time, like tool time. You just can't let that happen. When you weigh all that, I have got to assume that there's going to be some kind of conflict to take out the
But Iran, leaders. Like I said, I mean, Israel is an absolutely armed camp. It's got the United States backing it up. Why is Iran playing into that? I mean, I don't want this war. I'm not against Iran. Like you said, polls show 70%+ of Iranians love America and hate the mullahs. So, you know, a lot of people in our government don't want to attack Iran either. They think it could. I mean, it's just horrible that this could happen.
I think what they've been hoping is an Arab Spring. By bringing the Iranian economy down so far that the people would just go ballistic and would do what they had to do. But they can't do that. The mullahs are too strong. They're too entrenched with their Revolutionary Guard. Those people are not going to give up oil, money, power that easily. And they're going to hang in there for as long as they can. I mean, look at Assad in Syria, holding on as long as he can, butchering his own people. And they don't have those kind of resources. Syria is not an oil-rich nation. The Iranians are rich, they're powerful, and the 70-some people who are controlling the destiny of that country don't want to give it up.
And on the other side, George, we've got the West sending in a bunch of Saudi Arabian jihadis against Syria. I mean, it runs from bad to worse, and it's all coming to a head. What do you make of Joseph Stiglitz in the Washington Post today, former head of the World Bank, as the economist there, head World Bank economist, Nobel Prize winner, saying Europe's in a depression, it's spreading worldwide. Where do you see that going? Because here you are 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago talking about it, being criticized, I'm being criticized, Gerald Celente, so many others, and now everything on the news sounds like something we would have been covering. But I'm not waiting for some award or a pat on the back for being right. Instead, we still get criticized, but it's all coming true.
It's all coming true. I mean, if you and I had a crystal ball years ago and we were able to look into the future, Alex, we are looking exactly at what we had seen. We knew this. We predicted this. We talked about it. We both had specialized guests on the air talking about the things that would happen. And it's all coming true. I mean, I don't like the fact that it's happening, but it's happening. And the name of the game is control. You know, when Zygmunt Brzezinski said about a year and a half ago that they, being us, are becoming more aware of what the plan is, we have to act and act fast. We have to do this quickly. And that's what they're doing. They are operating and working as if they are running out of time. And you know what? I think they are. And so that's why they're pushing all these agendas so fast. The one thing they never anticipated, they didn't expect people to push back. And that's what's beginning to happen. And it's happening in all walks of life. And people are fed up. You can feel it. You can talk to your friends, your neighbors. They just don't feel comfortable anymore. And they're pushing back. And I think that pushback is healthy because that is what's going to keep people in line eventually. That's what's going to keep these world government leaders to realize that they just can't do that to people.
George, what type of pushback should the people be engaged in?
Well, you know, I was in the Navy 9 years, Alex, and I'm not an advocate of any kind of conflict, but you've got to protest. You've got to do what you can do in the voting booth, even though, you know, the old adage is, you know, it doesn't matter, every candidate's the same, or they'll change eventually. Violence is not a way to get it done. You have to protect yourself. I'm a guns rights activist. I'm a concealed weapons permit holder. You do that for safety purposes. You don't do that for aggressive purposes. But you've just got to continue to tell your friends, tell your family members what is going on, and hopefully that this mission that we've all been on for these years will continue to grow. I mean, years ago, people didn't believe us when we talked about things like that. They thought we were nuts. They don't think that anymore. I mean, now the camp that we're in is getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
But with great power comes great responsibility, and that's what's so frustrating is trying to figure out all the angles when even the power structure isn't in control. It's an amazing thing to see, but I've studied, as you have, other countries, and whether it was the Nazis or the Communist Chinese or the Russians or Pol Pot or any of them, fascist, communist, authoritarian, doesn't matter, all basically the same thing, different flavors of the same thing, the same end result, total tyranny, a bunch of crooks taking control. The fact that our founders did put that Second Amendment in there, it slows down the riots, it slows down the corruption, it's a checkmate against tyranny. That is such a bulwark, even in a collapse, basically like bulkhead doors or floodgates. The term, I guess, would be, what do you call it, firewalls. That Second Amendment is just so important and is such a wild card.
Oh, it is important. It is important that people know that this is an armed society, and this is a society that will protect itself if need be. Look, I happen to feel very safe in a state that I know has approved concealed carry because you just never know. But if you're in a state like Illinois, for example, where you can't carry, you know what? If I was a criminal, I'd say 9 out of 10 times I'm going to come up to someone and they're not going to have a gun. They're not going to have a gun legally because they're law-abiding people. I'm going to rob them. I'm going to do whatever I have to do. That's why crime is so bad in those states. You know, the FBI released statistics today that for the first time in 20 years, crime has gone up. What's happening to this society, Alex?
We're going into a controlled depression. What do you expect to happen, George, from all the different guests and experts you talk to in the next 6 months to a year?
Well, if you listen to people like Gerald Celente, and he's been on your program as well as mine, you know, we're at the cusp of collapse. I'm not sure it's that bad. I still think that these fiat money people are going to prop up this economy for several years. We're going to get hit with some downturns, but they're going to keep printing money. The problem, Alex, is eventually your kids and my kids or my grandchildren, they're going to pay the piper. That's where it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad 5, 10, 15 years out from now. We may get by over the next couple years with these ups and these downs. I mean, if gasoline prices ever get back to anything that was respectable, you know, auto sales will pick up even higher than they've been going lately. But I'm more concerned about the future of your kids, the future of mine, and what's going to happen to them. You know, it's like a race. You know, when you're in a four-person race and you're in a team and you hand the baton off to the guy when you come around the circle and he runs, you want to give him a pretty darn good head start because that'll help ensure some victory. Well, we're not passing the baton off to our people, to our young people. We're not giving them that head start anymore, Alex. If anything, we're giving them laps and laps behind the leaders. And they're not going to have that opportunity that you and I have had over these years. You know, my son got a degree in criminal justice. He was not able to use it in that chosen field. He ended up working as a casino host in St. Louis. He got transferred to Vegas. He didn't like it. He felt that they bait and switched him. He moved back to St. Louis. I'm helping him out there. You know, people are looking for work. I get emails every day from listeners. Every day. Can you help me with this? Can you help me with that? Can you do this for you know, can you find me a job? I mean, it's amazing what's going on in society. One of the things I'm going to do, because I think it's gotten so bad out there, is I'm working on a project, which I cannot announce yet, but I will with you when the time comes. And I'm going to set up a foundation and help our coast-to-coast listeners who are financially stressed. The show has been very good to me, and I'm going to set this up at the time that we start rolling along with this project that I'll announce hopefully within 30 days. And if any coast-to-coast listeners or even InfoWar listeners are in serious trouble and they need some money for utilities and things like that, we're going to help them out. I did that with our book sales, and, you know, we didn't give out a lot of money because we didn't get a lot of requests. But I think we're at a point now where people need help, and we're going to do it. It's the honor system. I'm going to have my producer, Tom, handle it for me. And you know what? We could get burned once in a while with someone who just wants to put a few hundred bucks in their pocket, but so be it. It's well worth the chance.
Well, that's what it's all about. We've got to be all in. And George, you told me about some of your plans. They're just simply amazing. But this is a planned implosion. And if we don't try to take care of each other, if we don't promote people that promote liberty, if we don't stand up for what we believe in, we're going to lose it all. Because the ruling class is so disconnected from reality. I want to give the number out because in about 3 and 4 minutes, we're going to go to a quick news report and then come back. For folks that want to call into the show and talk to the great George Norrie here during this 48-hour special transmission, the number to join us on air is 877-789-ALEX. That's our own little studio line, different than the regular radio show. 877-789-ALEX or 877-789-ALEX. 2539 on any subject or topic you want to raise for George Norrie. But George, if the establishment, because most people that are successful, they actually built a product or wrote a book or have something that people are interested in, and it's through free association. But these globalists brag, they're about monopolies that government can give them. They're monopoly capitalist, they're monopoly men, they're mafia, basically. And they, they're public about it. They think they're going to organize and control and ride this tiger of economic collapse. But historically, every elite thinks that because they're living in these armored redoubts and, you know, feel insulated. I mean, I am genuinely, you know, have moved to the country. I have genuinely put in solar. I have genuinely drilled a well. I have genuinely bought guns and food. I mean, I really believe there's a good chance I'm going to need to use that. And, I mean, it was a 20% chance 5 years ago, and then it was a 50% chance a year ago, and now it's more and more a realization it's going to happen. And it's just disgusting that we've come to this point. And again, you talk about your listeners saying, hey, I need a job. I've got family that have multiple degrees, some of them top of their class, veterans, you name it, who are out there beating the pavement, and they can't get any job but, you know, $10, $12 an hour. And, I mean, how did America get to this? I mean, how did we get to this point, George? And where is it going? I mean, it is humiliating to know that family I have who are amazingly smart, good people, I mean, a lot of my family, now work at gas stations or now work, you know, at daycare centers or now work, you know, as field hands, you know, with cattle or whatever. These are people with 2 degrees. These are veterans. These are Army officers. These are, I mean, this is not the way America was supposed to be.
Greed got us there, Alex, when it was cheaper to send your products out to get made to China or Mexico or Indonesia, cheaper to make it out there, cheaper to ship it all back into the country and not use U.S. labor to use that, to do that, that's when it started to happen. And it was a systematic plan to increase shareholder value for most of these companies. Hey, you know what? I'm all for profit. I'm all for profit. I think if you're running a business, you need to make a profit. But at what point do you say, this is not right? So I'm going to lower my profit, but I'm going to employ more Americans. I'm going to keep people working. I'm going to do the old Henry Ford routine, and that simply was, you know what, you're working for me, support us, buy our goods, and let's push this product, let's push this company, and let's get going. Well, they didn't do that. Instead, they all decided to go to China, and that's what has hurt us. And until we get to a point where we can be competitive again, truly competitive in the marketplace, it's not going to come back.
Well, that's it. Look, when a few companies will sell out, they become the lowest common denominator in the equation. They force everybody else to go there. And there's always somebody more corrupt that'll do, you know, paying off Chinese generals to have slave labor, whatever it takes. And they go, well, that's free market. We're competing. It's not free market when the Chinese have their kids tied up on lamp poles outside the factory and they're suicide nets and they're doing forced abortions inside the factory, as mainstream news has reported. This is science fiction dehumanization we're dealing with a bunch of corporations battling for market share and control like it's a military operation. And that's what's done this to us. Would you slit your daughter's throat if it made you, you know, all powerful in a particular industry? And that's really what it is a bunch of short-sighted corporate leaders in Congress hasn't protected us. They were bought and paid for. If they had basic controls that made sure there was a level playing field instead of this slanted playing field that has us all going down the drain, we wouldn't be in this position. And again, I say to the elite, who are you going to be once you've destroyed this productive country that was the source of your power? But as you said, they're short term.
Exactly. Exactly. My daughter, who you've been so kind to put up on your website, has this little jewelry company. And she's got two little girls, and these little girls said, Mommy, Mommy, we want to make this jewelry. We want to do one of these. So as a mother, she said, have some fun, make this little necklace, and do it. But it was hilarious because the way it looked, I said to her, you are using little children to make these products? And, you know, and she started laughing. But that's what they do in all these other countries. You know, they're using that kind of labor, that minimal cost labor, to generate products and things like that. And it's just, it's abominable. I mean, I wish I had the answer. I wish I had, you know, that special answer to get this thing solved and done. Both presidential main candidates, you know what, they all try. You know, Alex, you know where I come from. I think most of these people are nice people, well-intentioned, and want to do the best job they think they can. But, of course, for their own special interest groups, they get in the way, and everything goes, you know, to H in a basket. But I don't think they have the answers for this. I mean, I think this is one of the most difficult things in the world to solve. And, you know, just coming in for 4 years or 8 years is not going to solve a problem that has been going on for a long, long time. All they want to do is minimize it, make it look good until they get in and out of office and they're out of there. And, you know, hand the baton off to the next guy or woman and let them worry about it.
Hey, by the way, George, I got to stop you right now. Your daughter is a sponsor of InfoWars.com. And if you go to InfoWars.com, about a third of the way down or halfway down, there's a jewelry ad. And I didn't tell anybody at the office because, you know, the guys running the show, they don't know what's going on in sales, that your daughter was a sponsor, a small sponsor, but she's been a good sponsor for about 2 years or so. And I clicked on it. And Chris, who's in there running the board and the cameras, because we're also streaming video, said, hey, I love that site. I bought jewelry for my wife, and now she just absolutely loves it. He was just saying this in my ear while you were talking. So, no, he didn't even know it was your daughter. It's just funny to funny her. That he bought some. It's tuliptopia-jewelry.com.
She's one of a kind, a little entrepreneur that she is.
Hey, that's what it's all about. And then it creates this incredible industry in the country, instead globalism. Look, it's not bad to go in a box store and buy something, if you buy something that's also original. But it's when everything is a box store and everything's from China. Hey, folks, you know, it's not a good deal. We're going to go to break and play one of these special reports. We've got like 50 of these. Which one are we going to here for break before we go to calls? Okay, it's John Baum with his report on mass shootings. We're going to get to that with John Baum. Just happens to be the guy in there running the board. And then we're going to come back in just a few minutes with George Norrie and your phone calls. Anthony, Michael, John, Stuart, Kenneth, Mark, Joshua. Was that Ramses? Can't pronounce these names. And there's no women there. Hey, women, you need to get involved with us here on air. We don't screen your calls, but see like 10 other men after that. And let's hear from some women out there. 877-789-ALEX, 877-789-2539. We're going to go to break and come back. Briefly, we're here for the money bomb so I can, hey, it makes the globalists mad that I freely ask for money once a year. It's listeners' ideas. And it helped us buy more equipment. We want to buy some satellite uplink stuff and some file sharing systems and some subscriptions to put vignettes out for TV, not just radio. This stuff's expensive. I've tried to go on the cheaps, and it's an endless nightmare. So we've got to buy $100,000 pieces of equipment. Sounds like a lot. That's the cheap end of pro stuff. I know George knows about that. He's got a couple of national TV awards. What do they call those? Emmys, yeah. He's got quite a few of those from TV news. The point is, we're free market. We're not coming with a gun, taking your money like government. We're just here saying, if you support us, InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. I want to thank all of you that have been donating. And you can donate at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com and get like one-of-a-kind camouflage T-shirts that say Liberty or Death, Money Bomb 2012, InfoWars.com on the back. A lot of other items at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. And the crew is here to take your calls and to take your donations. And I just want to thank you. Because it's so amazing to see people supporting us. 5 years ago, as we go to break, I did not want to support the Money Bomb. Listeners started one with links to our PayPal area. And I said, I'm not going to promote it, but it got so big I did. And that extra money helped us move into a bigger office. We've expanded since then. And now we've gone from about 10 crew members to about 52. Right at 52 crew and contractors, and we're reaching not 3 million a week, but about 15 million a week, one way or the other. So you can subscribe at prisonplanet.tv to support us. You can buy books, videos, water filters discounted, InfoWarsShop.com, or go to InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. I've been on air quite a bit today. InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com and donate right there. And it's your free gift. It's your decision. It's your movement towards a liberty. And voting with your dollars. And I want to thank George Norrie for spending time with us tonight. We're going to go to break, come back with your phone calls and a lot more with the one, the only, George Norrie. I'm Alex Jones. Stay with us.
Public statement claiming there is just one shooter.
Every single indicator is that this is all Mr. Holmes's activity, and that he wasn't particularly aided by anyone else.
This is the same police chief that presided over a blatant violation of the Fourth Amendment by illegally cuffing and detaining 40 innocent people, including women and children, for over 2 hours while looking for a bank robber. Early on, the police scanner supports the one shooter theory.
Behind the theater, Sable side. Got a suspect in a gas mask.
Sure, 9, okay, and we need cars south side. Suspect in a gas mask.
The mainstream media promotes the one-shooter theory.
And honestly, for the record, there was only one guy. Yes, actually, the shooting probably started, lasted probably for about a minute or two.
But according to the police scanner, another suspect is spotted just 3 minutes later.
321, one of the shooters might be wearing a white and blue plaid shirt.
Copy, outstanding, shooter possibly wearing a white and blue plaid shirt.
He had his foot propped open by the door, and from the crack, it looked like he was signaling somebody or looking for somebody to come his way.
From what we saw, he wasn't alone. He had someone with him because the second can of tear gas didn't come from his side. He was completely dressed in black, head to toe. From what we saw, it seemed like he had something over his face, probably to prevent him from breathing it in. And we can only assume that someone got him in because he was hit, whatever he was wearing seemed thick. So I don't think he would really, I think he'd stand out in the crowd.
The one-shooter theory loses even more credibility when a second gas mask is discovered. How is it possible that 12 people were killed and 58 were injured by a semi-automatic weapon that jammed?
He shot easily 60 or 70 rounds.
Then there's the official story given by the president himself concerning the blood path behind the theater. Obama claims that this wound spilled what appears to be buckets of blood. In the aftermath, the vulture media swoops in, misquoting Holmes' mother regarding the shooting, causing her to issue this statement.
I did not know anything about a shooting in Aurora at that time. He asked if I was Arlene Holmes and if my son was James Holmes, who lives in Aurora, Colorado. I answered, yes, you have the right person.
Holmes' father worked for San Diego-based HNC Software Incorporated, a company that worked with DARPA to develop Cortronic Neural Networks. These enable machines to translate oral and visual stimuli and simulate human thinking. And Holmes' grandfather had deep ties into the intelligence framework of the U.S. military. The children of people with similar backgrounds are highly susceptible to exposure to Monarch mind control. Using brainwashed patsies in PSYOP massacres has become a commonplace thread in American history as the shadow government strengthens its stranglehold on public perception.
Instead of really digging into why this apartment would be rigged to kill, but then Holmes would then warn police and then lawyer up and not say anything else, where he got the funding and the firearms training, and these eyewitness reports that there was more than one person, yeah, instead of asking those questions, national media want to focus all their attention on why guns were legal in the first place.
Now is the time to shine a light on the obvious motive behind this tragic event, the motive to pass the United Nations Treaty on Small Arms. John Bowne, InfoWars Nightly News.
It's time once.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
With George Norrie, one of the biggest radio talk show hosts in the world. He's number two. Can't wait to hear him be number one. George Norrie is our guest for another hour and 18 minutes. And then coming up later tonight, midnight to, 4 a.m. Central, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Pacific, Coast to Coast, AM.com. And guess what, folks? You're not just going to escape tuning out here. You'll have to hear me on the show as well the first hour covering a bunch of important world news and all these threats to riot and all these threats to burn U.S. cities if Obama doesn't win. You know, both guys are globalists. They're funded by the same people. I've not been for Romney or Obama, but now you've got all these Secret Service calls for the Secret Service to do something about the calls for violence against Romney. Is that some type of psyop, or is it too early to tell, George Norrie, ahead of going to calls here in a moment?
Well, I got to tell you, Alex, any time you get those kinds of messages, you have to take them seriously. You know, John F. Kennedy, had he taken the heed of some of the things that people told him back in 1963, he might not have been in a unprotected limousine when he was down in Dealey Plaza in Dallas. So even though most of these people who may be posting social networks, their hatred, their venom, they may be all whacked out, you have to take it seriously. If I were the Secret Service, I would do a diligent job of trying to track these people down who have posted these things and charge them and arrest them. I mean, there's one thing protesting, there's one thing speaking about your feelings of how government is acting. There's another thing to start threatening our leaders. And I think that we should do whatever we have to do to crack down on people like that.
Well, you get threats. I get threats, not just presidents or presidential candidates. I'm sick of people doing videos saying, kill me, and they don't get in trouble. I mean, it's just people on the internet don't understand that you may be able to threaten your neighbor or other people or a talk show host, but when you do it to a president or presidential candidate, you know, they're going to be men with black sunglasses coming to your house.
And there better be. And there better be, because you just never know who these people are behind all of that. First of all, I can't understand the mentality of somebody being so stupid to post stuff.
Oh,
like
I agree.
That.
They're crazy. Well, we've now confirmed, actually, now some of these Obama supporters that are threatening to kill Romney are getting Secret Service visits. All I know is, George, I've talked to a lot of talk show hosts who've gotten Secret Service visits over not even threatening people. And we've gotten them over people's mild comments on our message board. And I'm like, why are you here talking to me? Like, you know, I support this. And so I expect a response to this, not because I'm a Romney supporter. I'm not. I obviously know they're both controlled, just because I'm tired of hypocrisy.
Absolutely. And you know what? Safety is paramount to just about everything. You know, I think regardless of what political party you're on, you don't riot. You don't threaten. You don't try to hurt. I mean, you try to get this done, and you get this done right. You know, whether President Barack Obama wins re-election or not, we'll find out. I still think it's going to be a close election. I think Romney has clipped away at his heels lately. And he's made it much closer. And it would not surprise me if Romney won. It would not surprise me if Barack Obama got reelected. The bottom line is you know what, we're going to have this person for the next 4 years. You may not agree with their policies, but you got to respect them for who they are.
George Norrie, you're right. It is a dead heat election, and even if you know they're controlled opposition, still it's very interesting to watch all the things that are happening in the October surprises, and what, 18 days now and a few hours, 18 days and change till we find out. That is certainly a cliffhanger. We're going to go to calls right now for the rest of this hour and the whole next hour with George Norrie, who's been gracious enough, because he's a hardworking guy and he has been gracious to spend time with us, to take calls. But after I'm on in the first hour and you cover news and I'm on for 45 minutes or so, what else is coming up tonight at coasttocoastam.com?
Well, we're going to, as you know, first hour talk. And by the way, how are you able to do this when you're doing this 48-hour live money bomb? Are you going to run away for an hour or what? How are you going to be able to do that?
Absolutely, George. If you go to InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com, I'm pretty crazy, but not crazy enough to do 48 hours. I'm doing 22 hours or something over 2 days. I've got guest host, special reports, and a lot coming up here. So I'm punching out after I talk to one more person after you, the full list. Let me see. George Norrie for 2 hours. James Leslie Rawls, the survivalist expert, former Army intelligence. And then Linda West, co-host, or by herself with a guest, Jakari Jackson, Russell Dowden, Dan Bedondi, and others overnight. So I will do an hour of your show and then drive home listening to Coast AM, in between listening to the free iPhone app to my show. And then I will then get home and get about 6 hours of shut-eye, then drive back and go on tomorrow.
Well, what we're going to be doing tonight after your hour, Alex, we're going to take a little walk on the paranormal side with a couple experts in the supernatural world. And I try to balance the show. I mean, we will do hard news with that coast-to-coast angle and twist. We'll do entertainment and fun. We'll do horror movies, scary things like that, but we'll also do a lot of supernatural. We'll also do a lot of paranormal. We'll do UFOs, of course, Bigfoot, ghosts, you name it. We'll do it all. I don't try to restrict the program. I stay away
Yeah, it's political football. You know what my grandmother, almost 90, says? She's still as sharp as a razor like she's always been. She says, I really like your show, but it gets so negative. She goes, can't you be like more like George Norrie?
It's funny. I went to a conference a couple weeks ago in Los Angeles, the Conscious Life Expo. And one of the things that is so important to me, Alex, is to do these meet and greets in front of a live audience where they get a chance to talk with you and see you, things that they don't have an opportunity to do when you're doing the radio show. And I get a lot of great feedback that way from people. And by and large, it has been my modus operandi, the way I have conducted myself on the air since I was 19 years old, was to attempt to be respectful to people. I mean, I'm not the kind of talk show host who wants to scream at people and hang up on them and do all those kinds of things. That's just not me. I'd rather respect somebody for who they are, give them their time. Some calls go on longer than others because of, you know, how good they are. But, you know, by and large, I'm going to give everybody their chance. And the same thing with a guest. You know, I'll get an email every once in a while. Why didn't you destroy that guest? That's not the intent of the show. The show is to let the guest talk about their view, whether you agree with it or not, whether it's preposterous or not. It's not for me to, you know, pick holes with the person. I could do that day in and day out. And so the program has evolved, and it's gotten very, very successful. As you've said, it's now the second largest talk show in the country, in North America. In terms of affiliate size, if we had the available audience that the daytimers we'd be eating them up like crazy. But you know,
I know this has been said, and we're going to go to calls. I promise, folks. I'm going to stop hogging George, and I'm not in some competition with Rush Limbaugh. I mean, I just know you personally and like your show better. It's always very thought provoking. What if you did a coast to coast daytime show? I mean, my goodness, if you are almost eclipsing Limbaugh with 10% of the audience overnight, so you have like 50% of the market share, I mean, during regular hours when everybody's awake, there's no doubt you'd dominate if a syndicator got behind you.
Well, we've got the great syndicator with our network. And in terms of would it work, coast to coast, I've always thought of it, Alex, as a nighttime show, a show where people gather around the radio campfire to listen to these stories and let their minds, you know, just do all their mysteries. You know, I have turned down a lot of money from some of the networks that want to put a camera in my studio, and I think that kills the theater of the mind. You know, coast to coast is allowing somebody, whether they're in bed or driving in their truck or wherever they may be at night, to just let their minds wander. And, you know, I don't want to kill the image.
Oh, I'm not a cowardly person, but when you're talking with some guest about whatever, I've caught myself driving home from work, as I listen, you know, many times every week, actually looking back behind me in the car.
I did that last night. I got in the car, and I swear I saw a couple eyes looking in my rearview mirror. It does freak you out sometimes. So the program grows, and you know, one of the things that we have done on Coast to Coast so successfully, thank God, with our staff, is we capture the lion's share of the available audience that is listening at night, whether it's in Cleveland or Los Angeles or New York or Austin, Texas, where you are. It's huge. You know, I should move to Austin and run for mayor.
You should. George, I've seen the numbers. In some cities, you've got 65% of the total radio audience, period. Rock, blues, Christian, AM, FM. I mean, I couldn't imagine being in cities and having 60% of the audience. That is, I'm not kissing your butt. It's just phenomenal that you're such a humanitarian, such a real guy, and here with us right now. Let's take a few calls so I can say I took calls in the first hour. Let's go to Anthony in New York City. You're on the air.
Hey, Alex Jones. I'm very excited to talk to you right now, and I promise I'll make this a really good call. I got four little points here.
Go ahead.
All right. Well, first off, I got a job in Brooklyn, so I've been taking the subway into the Atlantic Terminal in Brooklyn. It's a very popular subway station that goes to the LIR, and there's been TSA there every day on the subway at the Dean Street entrance. And if it's not the TSA, it'll be police. But
did they find Al-Qaeda in your underwear?
No, actually, you know, I've only really seen him maybe look at one person, to be honest. They kind of just stand there and BS, and they don't really even look very...
Yeah, they're there to acclimate people. What's your other points, bro?
Okay, so, yeah, I also made an app for the Android phone that's absolutely free for 9/11 Truth. There's videos stored on the app, so you don't need the internet connection. And I'm making it for the iPhone. It's going to be coming out real soon. It's just called 9/11.
That's exciting. Let me just say something. We're going to have open phones later. We don't screen calls, but, bro, do you have a question for George Nori?
Oh, yeah, I just want to think, I just want to ask, I guess, really, what would you guys recommend as far as, like, other than the InfoWars magazine, what pamphlets do you guys think would be the best for, I guess, on the subway and just people at work that are,
well,
like,
I mean, we sell the magazine at cost. That's why it's great. People really appreciate print. George is an author. George, tell us about your latest book.
Well, you know, I've got some books out there, but, you know, it's great to know that he's... I wish I had that kind of creativity to develop my own app or something like that. I've got to have a staff do that, Alex.
That's awesome.
You know, it's... I've done radio all my life, and I've done television, but, man, I'm learning the computer world quickly. You know, in my old days on talk, doing talk shows, we'd come in with magazine clippings and newspaper articles, and then we'd have them scattered all over the place. Now you can sit down and prep your show at your computer and print up all your stories and your information and your research, and you're done. I've got a computer next to me in the studio when I'm on the air, and somebody might mention the name of somebody, and, you know, sure enough, you can just do a quick little search, and it pops up, and you could have an answer before they're even done with their question. It's the technology is truly amazing. Unfortunately, when a solar flare hits us, down goes the grid and we're all screwed.
You're right. Well said. George, give out any other websites other than Coast to Coast AM. What are some of the other sites we should visit?
I'm going to give you a great site in about 30 days, Alex. I can't say anything about it right now, but I really would love for your listeners and your viewers to go to coasttocoastam.com where they can become Coast Insiders for about 15 cents a day. We've kept that at a nominal cost. But they get downloads, past programs, and special things like
that.
Yeah,
it's invaluable. I've got a subscription. I've had a subscription for about 10 years, even before you had me on the show. That way I can download it to my MP3 or iPad and listen, you know, when and where I want. And I listen when I'm on the treadmill. Let's take a few more calls before we go to break, and one more hour with George Nori, the radio legend here with us, because I love Art Bell. And Art Bell is a master, and I love him. And I wish he'd come back from semi-retirement. But let me tell you, George Nori took that show and made it even bigger. And George had the courage to put hardcore political issues on and trailblaze for so many of us. And that's why I'm going to sit here and, you know, give him laurels again, because you know what? He deserves it. He's a champion of freedom. Michael in Texas, then Hamas, John, many others. Go ahead, Michael. You're on the air.
Yes. Can you hear me, Alex?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Yes, I can, Michael.
Yes, I have a suggestion that as far as fighting the New World Order, and I wanted to hear both of your responses to it. I was in the United States Army. I served in Iraq from the end of 2004 to the beginning of 2005. And I just recently actually found out about all of this sometime back towards January of this year, and it actually kind of pissed me off finding out that I fought in Iraq and knowing, you know, that all of this was actually kind of set up by our government. But then I came up with a suggestion, but I need to kind of preface it. So please forgive me, but I'll try to make it as quick as possible with some of my studies I did. I was studying 10 different languages, and this led me to try to also study psychology to try to enhance my learning time so that I would learn them much quicker than because I wanted to try to learn 10 languages before I died. And, I mean, I'm still only fluent in English, but I have picked up quite a bit in Portuguese and also
well,
in Spanish.
That's fantastic. But, what's the question?
Well, it's a suggestion, but I'm prefacing it. I'm sorry. Forgive me. This studying led me to understanding brainwashing and how brainwashing is pretty much impossible to undo once it is done.
Well, it's linguistic. So, yeah, it's linguistic programming.
Well, but the thing is the reason why my suggestion is actually dealing with the brainwashing of America and trying to undo it. And I think that my suggestion is more on the lines of how we can try to start schools to teach the opposite almost of what a lot of people have been taught, you know, because they're trying to take children when they're younger. But also, I heard recently about the Lakota Nationhood declaring independence in 2007, which is kind of exciting because they're doing it all legally. And so I wanted to know if, I mean, as far as also supporting this new nation that's just starting, and maybe this is some means by which we can kind of, you know, put a wedge in the door, put our foot in the door, and try to open up a gateway to fighting the new world order.
No, I hear you. I mean, it's a very complex thing you've brought up, a lot of different issues here. But sounds like you're studying different linguistic things. George, you have any comments on what he was getting into?
Well, he never came up with a question for us, but let me react to some of the great things that he has been talking about, because he's spot on. I mean, this new world order that is out there is not new. It has been around for a long, long time. And, you know, those people who are so bored, Alex, with what they have, their houses, their toys, their cars, their trips, they have decided that the next game is to manipulate and control people. And that's what drives them. That's what they enjoy. Somewhat sadistic, I might add. And that's what they want to do. The problem is, as I mentioned earlier in your program, we are now aware of it. And now they're trying to figure out, gosh, how are we going to win now? And that's where the big, big push is going to come.
I agree with you. We're going to go to break here in a moment with the Black Ops 2 video game review by Jakari Jackson. It's about 4 minutes and 22 seconds long. So again, guys, just giving you a cue in there. We're going to go to, because I'm here live choosing what we're going to go to break with here. Black Ops 2 video game review with Jakari Jackson, looking at the propaganda in these games. And we come back, Hamza, and then Michael, John, Stewart, Keith, Mark, Joshua, Ramses, Michael, and Thomas. We're going to get to all of you and more. The toll-free number to join us is 877-789-ALEX. And I'll try to go to your calls as quickly as possible. We don't screen your calls, so if you go on a five-minute diatribe, it just keeps everybody else from being able to have a point. So think about what you're going to say. We're going to go to break right here and come back in 4.5 minutes with, George Norrie of CoastToCoastAM.com, who talks to 20 million people a week. He's here with us, and it just shows how far the InfoWars come. Thanks to all of you out there and people like George Norrie. Donate today to go to the next level, InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. It's once a year, so pony up if you love what we're doing. I know I certainly do. We'll be right back.
Black Ops 2, the sequel to the best-selling game of all time, places the player in a year 2025 that isn't very far-fetched. I'm Jakari Jackson for the InfoWars Nightly News. The original game was praised for its moderate historical accuracy. Let's analyze these new trailers to see if the same can be said for 2's dystopic future. Spoiler alert.
Unmanned armies, and no one ever asks. What happens when the enemy steals the keys?
Let's start with a look at future technologies.
Technology gets stronger, but we got weaker.
Now, believe it or not, everything in that clip is in various stages of production or completion. Take the nuke. The Brookings Institute reports that over 67,000 nuclear missiles have been built since 1951, a conservative number. Next, the tilt-rotor vehicles. The Osprey V-22 has come a long way since George LeBurger patented the tilt-rotor design in 1930. The walking tank is making fast strides at DARPA, as is the Pegasus drone. And drones are already flying the U.S. skies, even though they're vulnerable to hacks, and the Pentagon admits that they do not trust their own robots. Call of Duty chose a different approach with their villain this time, a hacker.
People in America idolizing their hero has wiped them out.
Cyber attacks are constantly in the news, but what's often left on the cutting room floor is that organizations such as the FBI have used hackers for illegal activities. And the NSA doesn't need hackers because they can tap your phone without a warrant.
The enemy could be anywhere, and it could be anyone.
The voice in that last clip belongs to Oliver North, the man at the center of the Iran-Contra scandal, where he and others sold U.S. arms to a foreign country outside of U.S. law. But if you try to buy a few boxes of bullets, you may get a call from your local state police. At the Contra hearings, North was also questioned about continuity of government plans, also known as Rex 84. Let's take a look at this clip that exposes the cover-up.
Colonel North, in your work at the NSC, were you not assigned at one time to work on plans for the continuity of government in the event of a major disaster?
Mr. Chairman,
I believe that question touches upon a highly sensitive and classified area, so may I request that you not touch upon that, sir.
A contingency plan in the event of emergency that would suspend the American Constitution, and I was deeply concerned about it and wondered if that was the area in which he had worked. I believe that it was.
May I most respectfully request that that matter not be touched upon at this stage. If we wish to get into this, I'm certain arrangements can be made when it...
The cause of war in this game is the control of rare earth materials. Currently, China has a monopoly of over 95% of the materials.
We're bringing a new trade case against China. This case involves something called rare earth materials, which are used by American manufacturers to make high-tech products like advanced batteries that power everything from hybrid cars to cell phones.
It's time for the spoiler. At some point in the game, drones are hacked and attack the G20 summit in the year 2025, leaving the player to defend the U.S. president in a war-torn Los Angeles. So there you go. Give up all your rights and sign up for the internet ID, or Anonymous is going to team up with the Dos Equis man and start blowing stuff up. Black Ops 2 is scheduled for release in mid-November. I'm Ja'Kari Jackson for the InfoWars Nightly News. It's time once again for our annual Money Bomb, our 48-hour broadcast to raise $1 million for our operation. But for our donators, we do have special gifts. With a donation of $365, you get the limited edition InfoWars Money Bomb t-shirt. With a donation of $500, you get not only the t-shirt, but also five DVDs. And with a donation of $1,000, you get the t-shirt, the DVDs, in the limited edition InfoWars Money Bomb Bullhorn, pre-recorded with a special message from Alex himself. Now be aware that your contributions do not have to be limited to donations. The InfoWars shop will be up and operating the full 48 hours. But the action isn't limited to InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. Stop by eBay for these great gifts, such as the InfoWars Sledgehammer, broken in and signed by Alex himself.
Oh yeah, New World Order. The InfoWars coming for you.
As well as these other great tools. In the granddaddy of all auction prizes, the Norman microphone that Alex has used in his broadcast daily for the past several years.
It's InfoWars Money Bomb 2012.
And just in case they go out of style this November, we dug deep and pulled out the Obama Joker shirt. And as you can see, it bears the Alex Jones signature right there. The InfoWars Money Bomb launches this Thursday, October 18th, and runs for 48 hours. Click on the links at the bottom of the screen to navigate you where you need to go. I'm Ja'Kari Jackson, and if you are watching this transmission, you are the resistance.
There's a need for a new world order, but it has different characteristics in different parts of the world.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
We're going to be continuing throughout the night into tomorrow, all the way into Saturday. I'll be here for more than 20 plus hours the next 2 days. Bunch of live guest hosts coming up. But we got George Norrie for another 52 minutes. And then he's got 2 hours to get ready for his own show. Midnight kicks off Central. 10 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Mountain, coasttocoastam.com. He's here, and I talked to George during the break. He said, more calls. I love them. I want to talk to people. So, Hamzy in Missouri, where George is staying, I guess, right now. Are you in L.A.?
I'm in L.A. right now, Alex. I'm going to go home, St. Louis. I was born in Detroit, but we all moved as a family in 1978 to St. Louis, and now I go back and forth. I'm all over the map these days, a little Hawaii and everything else. But I'm going back for Thanksgiving, then I'll come back to L.A., and then I'll go back for Christmas again. and they get rolling. One quick story for you. My daughter just sent me a text, and she said, Dad, something's going on with my website. And I said, what? She says, I'm getting orders like crazy. And I had to tell her that you just mentioned her.
Well, she's awesome. Yeah, well, funny, I'm looking at her website right now. We didn't plan this. Go ahead and punch it up, guys. I was buying my wife something. I guess that's part of the activity. And my wife loves the jewelry there, too. I remember like 2 years ago, she goes, who's this sponsor? I like these earrings. She bought them. 877-357-1361. It'll be a conspiracy theory that George came on to plug this. She's been a sponsor for 2 years. You can call. It's tuliptopia-jewelry.com. Amazing. Or linked up at Infowars.com. And it is the money bomb if you want to donate, folks. Because, hey, people like 5 years ago are, Alex, we're going to money bomb you. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing it. And they go, well, it's going ahead anyway. So I did it. And it's really helped us now. We're five money bombs in. Do what we've done. And we're not like the government who takes your money at gunpoint and then uses it against you. We're saying, hey, if you believe in what we're doing, spread the word about the free video feed, about Infowars.com, about all the things we're doing. Because it's all of us together who love liberty working together who can overturn this evil. Again, let's go to Homsing in Missouri. You're on the air with George Norrie.
Hey, guys, it's an honor to speak with you both. Actually, it's ironic, George, I actually found Alex through you on your radio show.
So. Beautiful.
No, it's not ironic, sir. He took us from being on the map to being on the star map.
Oh, I know. I've been with you now for 3 years, and it's been great. Hey, listen, actually, you could tell by the name. I'm Muslim here living in St. Louis, and I have to say that both of you have been always very fair to Islam, even though the current political situation and all that's come up in the world in the past, you know, I guess, what, 10 years now? And I just wanted to say, while I have this forum, that listen to all you freedom lovers out there. We are just as American as you. In fact, go and talk to any of your Muslim neighbors. They'd be honored to talk to you. We love freedom. We've actually traveled here. My family traveled here because of my dad was a pilot in Syria, and he did not want to join the Ba'ath Party because you couldn't get anywhere in Syria unless you were in the Ba'ath Party in the late 70s. And he traveled here, and he made his dream come true. He became a pilot. He bought two businesses. So I just want to say two quick points. There is no jihad conspiracy running through our holy book, the Quran. And in fact, Alex, since I know that you are a student of history, just look back in some of the things that happened in the Crusades. For almost 600-700 years, all of what we call Palestine, now Israel, was under Arab control. So I love when I hear these people say, oh, the Arabs, they wanted to kill all the Jews.
Of course, they lived all side by side as friends. The point is the globalist British intelligence radicalized certain groups as a pretext to control the region. Then they also use those groups as a threat to stay in control. And there's no doubt this is going on. And so many of the Arabs and Muslims that have come to America came here. Take Syrian girl who lives in an undisclosed country. She's going to be hosting for an hour early in the morning today. Her family left because they didn't like the Assad. But she's against what's happening there now because she realizes it's terrible. Let's get George Norrie's take on this.
Well, Alex, first of all, let me let you know that in Humsey as well, that my life was saved by one of my dear friends who was a Palestinian doctor back in St. Louis many years ago. And he's Muslim, and I'll never forget him, and we remain dear friends now. I had a lot of family members from Aleppo, Syria, all throughout the Middle East. You know, I happen to be a Christian Arab, and we learned a long time ago to care and respect and love people of all religions. Bottom line is, we're all believing in the same God. How we get there, we have our own different ways. But we all care about the same thing. And I learned that at a very young age. I was raised as a Catholic and ultimately just went into more spirituality, not organized religion at all. And you're absolutely right. There are so many, and I'm talking about millions and hundreds of millions of people of the Islamic faith, who are dedicated, heartwarming, warm, loving people. You know, we've got fanatics on every spectrum. Islam, Christianity, you name it, we've got fanatics out there who would do harm to everybody. Those are the bad apples in the bucket. But by and large, I think people, Alex and Hamzy, on this planet are good, hardworking, dedicated people. And I will always believe that until the day I die.
Well said. Hamzy, thank you for the call, and God bless you. Let's talk to John in Florida. You're on the air with George Norrie. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I have a question.
All right, John, what do you got?
What is his views on the NDAA?
Well, thank God they've knocked down a little bit of it, but not enough. I was talking to Alex off mic about a guy in Hawaii who was not allowed to get on a plane to leave because he is been vocal against it. I don't like any of these specific bills and laws that infringe on our rights, that give people the right and opportunity to arrest, to enter homes, to do all these kinds of heinous things. We don't need it, and one day we're going to have to go back to the old school and start creating government for people and by people instead of what they've been doing.
Let me just interrupt the caller. Specifically, when I talked to you tonight, because we didn't preset this up, I asked you on, you said yes. I knew we'd just talk about whatever the big, you know, topics of the day were and whatever was on your mind, George. But you said, hey, I want to talk about that story about the prepper not allowed to fly because he was, you know, had talked bad about the NDAA. I mean, this is happening to Congress people now. I mean, this is really the essence of an authoritarian system. So you'd brought that up, and I appreciate the caller's point. Thank you, John. But elaborate on your concern specifically with this, George.
I am concerned that government is infringing in our life, Alex, in every possible way, whether they try to chip us, whether they want to control us, whether they want to put drones over us. You just can't go anywhere. I mean, you've got these red light cameras at every intersection. I mean, it's crazy. We have got to continue doing what we're doing, bringing this story, bringing the information so the public can scream about it. And then one day, I think legislators are going to wake up and say, this has got to go. We need a million Ron Pauls in political office right now. A million of them. We need them in the Senate. We need them in Congress. We need them working for government. We need people like that who care about other people and their rights. And we got to get to that position.
I agree with you. It's that simple. People say, hey, you know, turn things around. Or I know they call you and say, George, fix this or that. Hey, folks, you've got the power. When you move, nothing can stop you. I mean, whether you're for marijuana decriminalization or not, the fact that for 20 years people realize, at least I do, that it's a fraud, close to 20 states have said decriminalize it. People didn't like the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. No matter what the feds wanted, it's gone up to 80 now in Texas. But there's better examples. In 1800, 2% of the public in the North was against slavery and less than that in the South. 65 years later, slavery was being outlawed. You know, when the people know something is right, nothing can stop them. 20 years ago, you couldn't find organic food in the stores, but people started demanding it, and now it's supplanting all the garbage. You go to the store and the ketchup says organic or non-GMO. I mean, look, when we vote with our dollars, it changes the world. We've just got to be smart. Like George was saying, you know, stop buying nothing but Chinese slave goods. Start buying American. And none of us are perfect. All of us are going to, you know, do some. You know, the point is just try a little. And if all of us do a little something, it moves mountains. George, comments on that.
Well, it does. You know, I've always said we can't solve the problems of everyone in society. But what we can do, Alex, is to take our families, take the people we care about, create this island, and do what you can for them. That's doable. And then maybe they can go out and do the same thing. And all of a sudden, all these little island bubbles are connected to each other, and they just keep growing and growing and growing. That's how we're going to get this done. We're not going to get this done by trying to take care of everybody in this country all at one time. It's almost impossible. It's too big. We saw what happened in New Orleans with Katrina. They can't. can't take care of something.
Exactly. That's why collectivism sounds great and the welfare state sounds great. Bureaucracy doesn't work. You've got to be independent. You've got to be rugged. You've got to be John Wayne. You've got to do it. That's all that works.
You must take matters into your own hands. Look, I'm like you. I've got guns. I've got storable food. I've got all these things set aside. I may never use them, ever. But I have them if I have to use
because
them.
It makes you independent. If you didn't have them, you wouldn't be truly independent.
That's exactly
people say,
right.
You're living in fear, Alex, having guns and storable food and water filters. No, you don't get it. I'm living empowered and in charge.
So make this island for the people you care about. Whether you've got a family of one, which is just you, or 10 people, just do what you can for them. And do as much as you can for them, and then hopefully they'll branch out, and your neighbors will branch out. And I'm telling you, Alex, one day it'll work. One day, so many of these bubble islands will be connected all over the place that people will say, you know what? We've now taken care of 100,000 people.
It's called entrepreneurial. Basic common sense, but instead the system wants to shut down farms, shut down gardens and yards, shut down people selling eggs, shut down Amish, shut down garage sales, shut down Little League bake sales, shut down lemonade. It is clear what's happening. We're being domesticated, and it is absolutely wrong. And look, I don't get partisan, because I know the globalists control both major parties at the top. There's some good people in both parties and some good supporters in both, but I think Obama, if he does lose, you have to chalk it up to one thing, and that's the you didn't build that. I know you're nonpartisan, George, as well, but, I mean, the idea, watching my dad build dental offices and work 18 hours a day, I barely saw him when I was a kid sometimes when he was working, you know, getting up at 3 a.m. to go, you know, take care of a crisis, myself running an operation, knowing what it takes, it was a fundamental insult to be told I didn't build this.
This is his biggest problem. This is what I think he did wrong. And this is coming from the perspective of a newsman who's been in this business a long, long time. Look, he was handed a horrible economy from the former administration. He tried to solve everything too fast, whether it was this Obamacare program or, you know, giving more money to companies to bail them out, helping out Wall Street. He just tried to go too fast. Look, the mandate we gave him coming out of the Bush administration, the fact that an African-American, a dedicated, hardworking, strong-minded senator with his, I think, incredible charisma.
He had an 86% approval rating.
Could get elected at that point was amazing to me. And he had an incredible mandate. People loved him. He went too fast. He should have slowed down. First thing I would have said if I were him, folks, I'm in the worst situation I could ever be in, and you're in it with me, and we're going to do this slowly and methodically from Afghanistan to Iraq to all this, and we're going to fix all these problems. But instead, he tried to make everybody happy, and he jumped in, and he when you run down a hill, you're going to stumble and fall. And that's what happened to him. And now he's paying that price. He may get reelected. There's a lot of people who still like him, and they're holding on. He's eroded some of his mandate from 4 years ago. But the bottom line is, again, he just tried to do too much for too many people, and it didn't work. And that could cost him the election.
But, George, every night when you finish your show, you didn't do that show. I mean, Obama said you didn't build that. I mean, it just shows a real disconnect. And, again, I don't even like Mitt Romney. It's a very scary prospect to see this. I'm hogging you here. We got loaded phone lines, Keith, Mark, Joshua, Ramses, Michael, Thomas, and many, many others that are holding. And I want to just race through calls here in a moment, 877-789-ALEX. We're going to open the phones up for just a second more to take some more in for people. But, George, just because it's the parable of our times, and because I happen to know some of the inside baseball, because I live here in Austin and have friends that are been around Lance Armstrong and been friends with his wife and his former wife and others, I knew all this stuff about Armstrong a long time ago, but didn't talk about it because sports isn't my issue and I'm not going to get in the middle of it.
Right.
And I'm not happy to see him falling like this. But I happen to also know it's coming out that the sport knew he was cheating and basically let him because they knew how big a draw it was. So they're now burning him kind of like Martha Stewart. I'm not defending him. He's a mean egomaniac, very ruthless, you know, not a humanitarian. I mean, very cold to little people. I don't like that. You know, I'm not trying to run him under here. I've never really talked about it, but what is your take on the fall of Lance Armstrong and all the things he did? Because it's sad, but also it's kind of a good parable. The elite can fall like that as well. They're not invincible either.
Look, the mighty fall, Alex. You know, they get too high up. They seem to forget how they got to where they did, and it comes caving in. I mean, over the last couple days, look at all the endorsement sponsors who have jumped off his bandwagon. I mean, he's lost the potential of $30 million. It's a lot of money. His foundation is crumbling. He screwed up. He screwed up. Now he's got to preserve himself and his own dignity and move on. What more can you say? You know, people like Bernie Madoff, look what they did. They screwed up. You know, this guy's going to be in jail until the day he dies. People just don't think.
Oh, you know? Yeah. Let me tell you, the way Armstrong's falling, I'm sure the feds are going to try to go after him for statements he made. I think Lance Armstrong's going to be lucky if he didn't end up in prison.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, something will happen. Some prosecutor will go after him, and that'll be it for him. I mean, that's what more can we say?
Well, I'm not defending Armstrong, but, you know, it's come out in the news that the he got positive tests over and over again, and the system. See, why does the system let somebody do this, and then after they're not the hot commodity, blow them away? It's just crazy.
The system wants winners. That's what they're all based on. And, you know, everybody knew what was going on. They just turned their heads, and they just let it happen. Those days are gone. You know, nowadays, I think there was a politician. There was a cartoon once. I'll always remember it. This politician didn't get reelected, and he was being interviewed by a reporter. And the reporter said, "So what happened?" He said, "I screwed up on a slow news day."
That's it.
And that's, you know. And the bottom line is, you just have to be careful. You can't do stupid things.
Well, I think, I mean, it is a parable to everything that nobody's going to get away with anything wrong they've done. I think that term God-fearing, I've now finally figured out what that means. It's just that instinctive thing that if I do bad stuff, it's not that I'm even a bad guy and want to get away with something bad. If I even look at somebody doing something bad, not that I'm some angel, but my heart's right, I go, ooh, man, that person's, you know, just seeing people do wrong gets me upset. And it's not because I'm some wimp who can't handle, you know, why I'm tough, I do bad stuff. I realize everything you do comes back on you.
It sure does. I'm going to tell you a little personal thing that I do. You know, I'm too well known to screw up on some things. And, you know, when I'm not working, when I go out, you know, I'd like to sit back, have a nice little dinner, enjoy Merlot, a little red wine. It's good for your heart. You get to be my age, you need every benefit you can get. And I don't drink to excess at all. But if you're out with friends and you have a couple glasses of wine or three, you don't know how that affects you. I went out and bought a little breathalyzer, and I keep it in my car. And, you know, after my night's done, I'll go out there and I'll blow into this sucker. And if it reads 0.08 for some stupid reason, I don't drive. I go back in. I settle it down or it comes in. I will not
You go in
drive.
And have a cup of coffee and hang out for an hour.
That's right. I will not drive that way. You know, they can get you for making a wrong turn or something like that, but I'm not going to get caught that way. Life is too short and too important.
I agree. That's what it all comes down to. Wow, man, amazing. George Norrie's our guest. Let's just go to calls. I'm going to shut up now. I'm hogging him. We got like 15 phone calls to get to. Keith in California, you're on the air. Go ahead.
How you guys doing?
Good, sir. Welcome.
I got a question and a comment after, if I could. My question is, we got this situation where we got a possible civil war. They're trying to start a civil war in this country. And I know the New World Order is pushing for that. What I'm asking is, what would be the benefit? I understand that you're bringing in a police state, but they don't have places like Russia and things that are ramps. So wouldn't that be a prime opportunity for Russia to invade us while we're divided?
George?
It would be a prime opportunity for anybody to invade while we're divided. I wouldn't be too concerned, Keith, about Russia I would be more concerned about China. They have a long-term plan. They've got their eyes set on Taiwan. They might have their eyes set on Japan, for all I know.
That's right. I mean, I hate to interrupt, but what is Romney, I'm not bashing him, but what is he doing going after Russia when Russia can barely keep its lights on and China has 98% of the rare earth minerals, taking over everything?
And buying their way into the hearts of every other country. I mean, and they're doing it in a very systematic, brilliant way, and we need to be careful about that. Very, very careful about that. I don't think the New World Order wants to directly have civil war. I think what the New World Order wants is a divided country. And, you know, they don't want everybody running around with guns, shooting people, and things like that. But they want chaos. And, you know, with chaos comes the ability to influence. And, you know, we have seen what has happened over the years just in this country. If you keep people on edge, Alex, you and I used to talk about that cockamamie color-coded system.
Oh, yeah, which they admitted was done.
I hated it.
Yeah.
You know, it was a way to keep people on edge, you know, condition orange, condition this, that. And finally, they did away with it primarily because I think we screamed about it all the time. But they love to control that way. You control people by keeping them on edge.
By the way, you and others were proven right because you covered it constantly. Some said to the point of excess, but you were right because they later, Governor Ridge came out and admitted, oh, we had that to scare people, and we would issue that every time we were getting bad poll numbers. I mean, that was all confirmed, George. You were confirmed to be right that that was an absolute fraud.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and it's they have studied human nature. They probably know all about the Pied Piper syndrome and how that works, and that's how they manipulate people.
Let's go ahead and get a final. You wanted a comment back, caller, or are you already gone? Because the caller had said he wanted to respond after that, and do you were popping in my hair about Obama 2016. Oh, yeah, we're going to skip this break and just go to the end. But, yeah, we'll play part of the Obama 2016 little promo as we go out to the next guest. We got exactly 30 minutes left with George Norrie right now. Let's move quick now. Mark in Oregon, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, good evening, Alex and George.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, spoken with both of you gentlemen before, and it's always a pleasure. I really appreciate it as we all do all of your worthy work.
Well, we appreciate you, buddy. You're kidding. It's an honor to talk to you.
Thank you, brother. Alex, I just have two quick answer questions for George and maybe one comment, short comment if there's time. But
sure.
First, I wanted to mention, appreciate it. First, I wanted to mention to you that in the next, 40 hours or so that's left in the money bomb, that if 50,000 people, which is just really a pretty small fraction of your listening audience, each gave $20, and $20, you know, most people can still afford that. That would be $1 million.
Well, that's what it's amazing is that we now get conservatively over 1 million visitors to InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com a day. When Drudge linked to us the last 4 or 5 days, one day we had 3 million visitors. That's not hits. That's real visitors. I mean, I've been on George's show before when we hit the zeitgeist. It was like 10 or 11 million one day. Usually it's about 1 million. But the point is that, yeah, that tiny fraction buys a book or clicks on a sponsor. I mean, it's just crazy that we've got this giant audience and I'm here pathetically begging for money. And we've got $100,000 in. We'll probably get $500,000 in if people donate. But yeah, it's that idea of government takes it from you. That's okay. But when somebody asks for it, it's like, oh, I don't know. I don't have to give that to you. It's crazy.
Very ironic, Alex, because, you know, your objective is to do good, and it's there's a lot of good people in government, but the people at the top that set the policy, they have very bad objectives for us. So it's kind of like an effect that many or most of us don't mind contributing to what we, if we really knew the extent of it, we've just been brainwashed, because I think most people do know that government's very inefficient, and a lot of money goes overseas in wars and such.
Well, people don't know how much power they have with little actions. Everybody expects some Herculean figure to fix it all overnight. Wars are won by lots of little actions. What's your question for George?
George, you'd mentioned earlier that you do a lot of flying, and I knew that. I follow your great program very regularly. And I was just curious, unless you fly a corporate jet or fly in your own private airplane, What experience do you have to go through at airport TSA security? What have been your experiences in that? Just briefly, and I can mention the other question very quickly, or we can go one at a time.
Let's go one at a time. And, Mark, you know, I traveled just like everybody else. You know, I'll go coach, and I'll go through the screeners, and I'll go through the detectors, and I'll put my little my little shampoo and toothpaste in a little one-quart plastic bag and let it go through the conveyor belt, and I'll take my shoes off and my belt and all that other stuff. I've gotten it down to a science now. It's a royal pain in the butt, but I get in and I get out and I'm gone. The ironic thing is, many times, because of the Ancient Aliens television show that I've been on, the TSA person will recognize me, and they'll stop me and want to talk about Coast to Coast or the Ancient Aliens television show. And then we've got this line of people behind me trying to get through. That causes a problem. So, you know, I tell the guy, look, if you want to talk to me, let me through first, and we'll do that. But I do that. I don't take any private jets or anything like that. Everything I do is through commercial airlines.
You have so many fans that I guess you're just a likable guy anyway, George. That's what I figure.
Now, George is, and let me tell you, it's not an act. He's really a classy guy. So many people that don't even have one-tenth the reach of George are arrogant, crazy people. And it just, it's part of the sign of the times that society to a great extent has gotten very sick. But they're still just giant masses of good people. Now, real fast, you had one more question or comment.
Yes, sir, Alex. I just wanted to comment on what you said, George, about Obama inheriting, a bad economy, about him basically trying to do too much too quickly. And I'll be honest with you, George, it's just something to think on, but I just want to suggest it to you. And I think Alex would certainly agree with me. He's exposed it in detail. But basically, he's just picking up the power baton, whether Republican or Democrat, any president that is elected these days, so to speak, because they're selected rather than elected these days, they basically have made that agreement to continue on the policies, the main policies, which form the domestic life and welfare in this country.
All right, we got to get to the other calls, but let's get a quick, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. Let's get a take from George on that.
And that's all very conceivable. You know, I'm not an economist. If I were elected president, I would have to defer to my staff, the experts that I've surrounded myself with, and others. And I'm sure he got bombarded by the folks at the Federal Reserve. He probably wasn't even aware of people like G. Edward Griffin, who, you know, talk about the creature of Jekyll Island and things like that. So they sit back and they get what they think are traditional comments and input from their people, and it's the same stuff because it's, you know, from one administration to the next. You're absolutely right about that. But, you know, he's not an economist. And so, as I said, I would come in and I'd get this great information from the people I trust, and then you implement, and then it probably ends up failing. I think presidents nowadays need to listen to shows like Alex Jones and say, whoa, wait a minute. I didn't even know the Federal Reserve wasn't part of the U.S. government. I'm not sure they know that.
You're right. Okay, now, folks, we've got 12 calls online. And that's just, we open the system up and, you know, calls flood in. We turn it off. We open it for about 30 seconds and then, you know, 15 calls come in. We've got to go to Joshua, Ramses, Michael, Thomas, Jim, Josh, Randall, Aaron. We've got 23 minutes left with George Norrie. Then he's got to get ready for his own show at Midnight Central, coasttocoastam.com. So I'm going to try to shut up. So don't ask me questions. Let's just, you get a chance to talk to George Norrie here, folks. So let's go ahead and talk to Joshua in Texas. You're on the air.
Hey, Alex. Everywhere I go, and every person I meet, they always seem awake. And in my personal opinion, the only people that are not awake is the elite. So, in my personal opinion, I would suggest that we should really shake the soul of their being, and, you know, wake them up, because they are humans. And as far as a person myself, is that we're all guilty of this separation of day the word they are not part of us, but, you know, they are human in that sense. So I guess my question to you guys are, what do you think of humanity? What is humanity to you?
George?
Well, to me, humanity is looking in the eyes of a little child and seeing them hungry, seeing them without clothes and without shoes. Humanity is trying to do whatever you can to make that little soul enjoy their short stay on this planet.
Amen.
And that's what it's all about. Josh, I don't agree with you in one respect. I think the elitists are very aware of what's going on. I think most of them are geniuses. The thing that they have done is they've learned how to manipulate people.
I agree.
Where they have failed and where they will fail is they forgot that the human mind also has the ability to reason. And that's what we're doing right now. We're starting to reason. We're starting to question. And that's what's happening. But in terms of humanity, it should be our job as a country not to control and not to occupy countries, but to take care of people and help them as much as we can. So if you have a dictator who is butchering their people, then you have to take them out. But you have to make sure that, you know, the right people get in to start helping the other people. The problem is, it's like pulling sand out of a beach. You pull it out and it fills right back in again. It's just too big. And I'm not sure it's a solvable problem.
Well, it's an inside job. It's an individual job. We've got to change the world one person at a time. And, you know, the elite, so many of them are scientific and cold-blooded, but they've almost got like Asperger's or something individually. They know how to dominate, but they don't get what the full consequence will be, and they're out of control. But I appreciate the caller's great points. A great question. And I'm going to pronounce this wrong, but Ramses in Texas, a lot of calls from Texas. Michael in California, you're next after Ramses. Ramses, you're on the air with George Norrie.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call. Ramses in Austin, Texas. This is crazy. This is probably I don't think any phone call is going to top this for the rest of my life. Honor speaking to both of you guys, George and Alex. I just want to say that both of you guys are like the Chael Sonnens of radio, and by that I mean that you're both the people's champion, and, you know, you're the underdogs that keep fighting, so thanks for that. Real quick, I just have one question. I don't have any hard, concrete data or, you know, any studies in front of me, but I think I'm not going out on a limb by saying that a large, significant portion of both of your listening audiences smoke marijuana. I'm sure you've both noticed. So my question to each of you is simply, why do you think that is? And also, Alex, I get the best steak in Austin?
Let me throw this out. I'm not sure they all smoke marijuana, but I will tell you, I think they support the legalization of marijuana, both at the home and private level, and for medicinal purposes to use for people who can't take prescription pain pills, overwhelmingly so. But in terms of, you know, hard data, who uses and who doesn't, who knows?
Well, roughly half the country in studies use it, so obviously we do have audiences of smoke pot. I personally am not a big marijuana guy. I'm a Merlot guy like George. Red wine, that's my ticket. But, I mean, here's an example. My dad took 200 of these to East Texas where our family, my dad's family's from, and gave them to local ranchers. I mean, he was back there a few weeks ago, and they're like, we like Alex in his new magazine. We listened to it on a local AM station. But he's promoting marijuana. Now, people know most hemp, it has no THC. It has incredible health properties. That's been proven in so many studies. It's miraculous. They thought a hemp ad on the back for hemp shampoo and hemp pills, they thought I was like selling marijuana in my magazine. So there's a lot of ignorance out there. So yeah, I don't use it, but I'm for decriminalization because you make it illegal, it jacks up the price and the criminals just make more money.
Yep, absolutely. Back in St. Louis when I was doing my Nighthawk show, Alex, I did a whole hour on the hemp mobile out there, and this guy had developed a car that ran on hemp oil as fuel, and it was an amazing thing. There's just so many things you can do with that. I don't know how many people knew at the time when hemp was truly legal in the United States and was used primarily for paper a long time ago.
And shirts. It was better than cotton.
Hearst, who owned said, we got to get rid of that so we can knock down trees and I'll make money making paper and, you know, and other goods.
That's right.
And there's always, you know, remember the old adage, who benefits? Look at that with anything that happens in life, anything that happens. And the chances are you may get exactly the answer you're looking for.
Well, George, as usual, you're on target. It's amazing that people think hemp that has no THC in it is marijuana, and we're the only country in the world where even North Korea you can grow it as a crop. George Washington grew it. You cannot grow hemp for industrial use here in the U.S. We have to import it from Canada, and then people hear the word hemp and think I'm dealing marijuana. It's unbelievable how ignorant people are. Thank you, Ramses. Let's talk to Michael. We got to move really fast now. Michael in California, go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. Infowars.com and Coast to Coast, George Norrie and Alexander Jones. Real quick question to America. Do you believe that what you're listening to right now is the most important time in the history of mankind, where technocratic Luciferians running amok with malicious, malevolent intentions in our water, our air, and our sky, and our food? I'm blind. I listen to George every day, and I listen to Alex every day. And the question goes out to one comment and then a question, and I know we have to move quickly, Alex. One, do you realize how important and what you're going to be in the almanacs of history, both of you gentlemen? And number two, I've had somebody with me taken pictures of what they call the young Marines in California. They're training right in front of the farmer's market with dress rifles, and they have their brochures that explain it's a great thing for young children ages whatever to teens.
No, they just announced today the new federal FEMA Corps of young kids. Yeah, it's incredibly creepy.
And it's not only is that, writing on the coat tails of your last comment, the children, do you realize, George and Alex, how sincerely appreciative we are as parents?
Oh, man.
You guys are considering our children and not your wallets. And that's why I will donate and continue to have my subscriptions to both Coast to Coast and Infowars.com. I'm completely broke, and I don't care.
No, listen.
People, and I don't care.
Well, listen, sir, people that aren't broke are the ones that should be supporting and donating. But you have to understand for George, because I know George is a really good guy. I kind of know his, you know, his heart, because I've talked to him for now almost 10 years on air and met him in person quite a few times. When we hear somebody telling us how great we are, instead of our egos getting big, because we're not about that, it's like, oh, man, I better do a really good job. These people are counting on me. It's almost freaking us out. We're just like you, brother. We love freedom. We want our kids to be free, our grandkids that are coming to be free. It comes down to that. But yes, they are trying to take every authoritarian system they've got and put it into the kids. And God bless you. I appreciate your call. George, comments.
Well, you know, Alex, one of the pledges I made to our audience back 10 years ago, it's hard to believe I'm coming up on my 10-year anniversary in January, was that because there are so many people out there who are dedicated, who are alone, that if holidays fall on my work schedule and my weekend folks schedule, we will have a live show for you. There's not going to be a canned program on that day, a day that may be one of the loneliest days for an individual. So, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas Eve, Christmas, New Year's Eve, New Year's, you name it, Labor Day. We don't take the day off. We don't run tapes.
Yeah.
We are on air, and we do it only because we absolutely care for the people.
And it's hard to get crew in to do that. I mean, I don't even do that all the time like you do, but that's the thing. When you realize
families, look, Alex, listen, I don't fault the other talk show hosts who have families and they take their vacation time and their days off and stuff like that. It's just a personal thing that it's important to me. You know, I'll take a Friday off a month. I get 3 weeks of vacation. I take one a year. I'll do it sometime after New Year's this year. But so I don't fault people for taking their time off. You want to be with your family.
Well, let me ask you this, because I know you do that. I listen to you on holidays because I know it's live and really enjoy the show. What is it with me that when I know all these incredibly good, decent people are counting on us and looking up to us, it hurts. I don't, and then I can't imagine being the elite who love the fact that the public's under their control. With me, when people are looking up to me, it hurts. I mean, and I mean, not in a bad way. It just hurts to actually know and feel the energy of these good people. Do you know what I'm talking about?
You know why it hurts? Because you know, and I know, that when you have so many people who depend on you, you cannot fail. And every night when I go on the air, or every night that you're on the air, you know that you've got all these people counting on you. And it's an awesome responsibility. And it's something that just cuts right to the chase, that you have got to go on there and do the best you can to help that person out. And it's an awesome responsibility. And it's sometimes, you know, it's pretty heavy to carry.
Yeah, because I mean, I don't deliver like you do, you know, so smooth. And I mean, be honest, I mean, I'm just like doing the best I can. These people are totally counting on me, and it's way above my pay grade. It's way bigger than anything I ever imagined. And then I think about the cold-blooded globalist who just could care less. It makes me sick.
I was in St. Louis about a year ago, and a guy came up to me, and he said, "You're Alex Jones's friend." And I said, "Yeah, I am." And he said, "I love him. And the fact that you know him, can I shake your hand?" And I said, "Yeah, sure." And as he walked away, he came back and he said, "What's your name?" And I went, "That doesn't matter." I said, you like Alex, and he's doing a great job." And he said, "Okay, thanks." And off he went. But, you know, people had heard me talking about you at this place.
That's the only thing that hurts me is when globalist and media lies about me. I know it's hurting people that are listeners with those lies, and that's the only thing that gets to me. Not that they're attacking me, but that people that have counted on me are hearing these lies. It makes me so angry.
Well, it does. But you know what? You've learned to control yourself over the years. You've matured, Alex. I've watched you mature. And you know, it's made you a better person. It's made you a better host.
Well, I hate to psychoanalyze this, but I think most talk shows don't do this. We're talking about what it's like to have all these people that totally count on us. It's very humbling. Let's jam in them really fast. Michael in California, quick question for George Norrie. Go ahead, Michael. He's away from his... Go ahead, Michael.
If you want to let me go, you can, but you held me over. I do want to say this because you just signed off with you feel really burdened with what you're carrying. George, without and Alex, without this news, we would have walked off the cliff without knowledge.
No, I hear you. I'm going to jump. I guess they hadn't let you go, but we've got to get to the others to be fair. But as he said,
of course, God bless you and George.
Well, thank you.
Jesus cover you during this period. Bye bye.
Thank you, sir. But I mean, I'm glad he actually got held over there and they didn't let him go. What would it be if there wouldn't have been alternative media, George?
I hate to think what would happen, Alex. You know, look, it's not over. This mission that you're on, this mission that I'm on, it's not over. And we have a lot of work to do. When I first started doing Coast to Coast, when I replaced Art Bell, which was an awesome responsibility, and I decided, look, I can't copy Art because he was the best. So I'm going to be me. I'm going to do what I do, and it worked for me. But I said 10 years ago, I said, you know what, I'm going to do this show for 10 years, and I'll retire during the Mayan calendar end date, which is coming up in December, and I said, you know, it'll be a great run. Well, you know what? I'm still kicking, and the job is not done yet. And so I've told our network people, I said, look, you know, we're going to continue this. When it's time for renewal time, the end of next year, let's talk again about another five-year deal, and let's work this out. And I'm just going to keep going. And as I've told producer Tom Danheiser, whom you know, I said, Tommy, I want to be on the air one day, and that's where I want to go. And if I pass on, I want you to come back after the commercial break and say, George is gone now, and continue on with the show.
Wow, absolutely. Well, George, you're a long way from going anywhere, hopefully. Coast to coast AM.com. Now, I promise to get to all the callers on the board, so we got to move fast. There's seven of them. He's got to go in like 10 minutes, got to do his own show tonight, coming up in about 2 hours and 10 minutes. Thomas in Texas, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good to be on the air.
Hi,
first
Thomas.
Time caller.
Good to have you. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to talk to George Norrie about what does he think the whole, I guess, end game or how, well, what is his theory on where all this is leading?
Well, it's going to be a tough road to hoe, but we're going to get there. We are going to get there. People are too aware. As bumpy as it's going to be, I always tell people this is a roller coaster. Hold on. Don't fall out. And let's get to the end of the ride, and let's do it together. Let's climb the mountaintop together. Alex, there is no fun climbing a mountain, and you're at the top all by yourself. So it's our job, our responsibility to bring everybody along with us, and I think we can do that. I think this mission that we've all been on is growing, and people are becoming more aware. It's obvious, you can tell just by looking at where you've been over the last 10 years. Look how it's grown.
And you said that, like, and I was on your show 9 years ago, you said.
I did. I predicted it.
Absolutely. It is certainly a quest we're all on together, and we've all got a responsibility to be the best, most moral humans we can be. And you know, none of us are perfect, but let's try to be good, and let's try to have courage. Let's go real fast to Jim in New Hampshire. You're on the air with George Norrie.
Hey, great to talk to you guys tonight.
You too, Jimmy.
All right, I just have a real quick question. How do you feel about the media when they're not pumping violence into your face that when they're deciding elections for you? How does that make you feel as individuals?
George.
And I'll get up. Thank you.
Great question, George.
I think what people need to do is to take responsibility for their own insight. And look, you got various cable networks and television networks now that are either conservative or liberal. Balance it yourself. Look at that station, listen to that radio show, and say, you know, that's what this person does. That's what they do. This is their views. This is their job. They agree with this side. And, you know, make your own decisions. You know, grab the information, find out who's right, who's wrong, and do some things. You know, I'm not Alex, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Libertarian. I call it the way I see it. And if the president's doing a great job, I'll be one of the first to jump up and down and say that. And if he's not, well, I'll say that too. And I think every individual, wherever you live on this planet, has to do that for yourself.
Well said, George Norrie. Who's up next here, guys? Josh in Georgia. You're on the air with George Norrie. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. First time caller.
Welcome.
All right. Real quick. Did you see the reaction video for the Gray State trailer?
Gray State, looks like they're making a great film about a FEMA takeover, but no, I haven't seen their new video.
Well, it was they did a contest on Facebook, and I actually won the contest, and I'm in that video. But real quick, John Kennedy said, those who make peaceful revolution impossible make violent revolution inevitable. How bad do both of you and George think this is going to get?
Well, I'd like to take that briefly. The pen is mightier than the sword. The people we're going to fight if we decided to go out and start pulling triggers are a bunch of brainwashed zombies of the New World Order with families. We need to wake them up. The Army says 90% of war is now psychological. We have the truth. The globalists have the lies. Before any of us ever talk about violence, we better exhaust the info war. And I'm not talking about George Norrie or Alex Jones doing this. We're already doing that. You can talk to a lot of people if you get motivated. So, I just say to all these people that are buying guns and getting ready for war and all this, hey, I got guns too. I got 50 cals, baby. I got multiple 50 cals, Barrett's, the big ones, and nobody's taking me to a FEMA camp. But you know what? That's like 1% of me. 99% is trying to stop this. And then if it goes to people trying to come take me to a FEMA camp, look out, here comes Godzilla. George Norrie.
Alex, I'm going to make a prediction on your program right now, and that is that we will one day soon be faced with a worldwide calamity, whether it's going to be coming from outer space in the form of an asteroid strike or a solar flare, or whether it's a man-made created event. but it's going to happen. The bottom line is, how good are we to react to it and to pull ourselves together and survive and make it work for ourselves? That's my prediction. And also, I noticed you're climbing up to almost $98,000 in your initial goal toward a million. I wish everybody would get onto your website, Infowars.com, and push you over the $100,000 mark well before you get on the air with me tonight, Alex.
George, I know you've got to go and get ready for your own show. Each caller gets 1 minute, and then George has got to go. Thank you, Josh. Randall in Missouri, you're on the air with George Norrie. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. I'm a huge, huge fan of you. I work with a guy, and he has a son that's in the Navy, and he's on a ship that's going to be getting ready to be decommissioned, and he was supposed to be home in October, and they ended up having him not come in until, like, November. And I was wondering your thoughts on, like, a false flag on that ship. I can't remember what the ship's name is.
Well, they've had all sorts of it turned out there was going to be a false flag 4 years, 5 years ago, to blame it on Iran, and that got stopped because good people in the government blew the whistle. But false flags are real, and or it could be real stuff. Look, let me tell you, they attack Iran. Iran's going to do real stuff. You're not going to need to have false flags. George Norrie.
Absolutely, Alex. You know, I've been in the Navy 9 years. It's not unusual to have delays in certain things, so that's not truly unusual. But false flags are a way of life. It's how governments try to incite and get you involved. And, you know, we've done it in this country before, and I'm sure we'll do it again.
Thank you, Randall. Aaron in Indiana, and we got two more calls after that, and George can get ready for his own show in 2 hours. Go ahead, Aaron in Indiana.
Hello, Alex and George. I really appreciate both your work very much. So, more or less, I just wanted to toss out the idea that perhaps during our next set of elections, maybe we can get the alternate parties more of a voice through the internet and even hold like a mock internet election, at least as a gesture to interject, you know, more relevant topics.
No, I agree. Give media attention, say, to four or five other parties bringing up other issues. That's a great idea.
So that we get more people to actually vote for other candidates other than the two stooge system that we have here, because these elections are just
sure sick. Is that your question for George?
You know, if I had a question for George, would Coast to Coast be able to operate during a grid blackout?
Ooh, that's a great comment. You know, we're just putting in generators, and I know Premier's, you know, a lot more professional than we are. What is the plan during a collapse?
Well, you know, Alex, let me tell you, it's critical. We have generators, of course, and we have systems to bypass satellites, but if it's a worldwide solar flare that takes out the grid, well, then we've got our 564 radio stations that are going to be affected as well. So, I mean, it's going to be a mess. If we get hit with this flare, and we will one day, it's going to be a mess on biblical terms.
You know, it's wild for me to know I'm on over 130 stations and to say 564 when nobody can say that but you and Rush Limbaugh. That is an amazing number. It's, for me, 130 stations is amazing. And then to know that you're on, you know, close to 600 and all the big ones, it's just, I'm not trying to kiss your hind end. You know that. It's just amazing, George, that you're this big and you're a patriot and you're on our show. It's amazing. Two final calls. Watts in Illinois and then Matt in Texas. We'll end with Matt Dillon in Texas. But Watts, you're on the air. Quick question for George.
Yeah, my quick question is, what's your take on the rapture? People who believe in the rapture, that Jesus will save them before a slaughter. What's your take on that?
George?
Well, I'm very spiritual. I saw what Harold Camping did a year or so ago, and he's been wrong all the time on the rapture. So yeah. I'm not sure it's going to occur that way. There are many things in the Bible that I think are spot on. And I, of course, believe in intelligent design, a great creator of this universe and probably others. But in terms of the rapture, and will it occur exactly that way, I'm not sure. I have my own doubts.
I agree. I mean, I've read the Bible repeatedly. I've researched it. They didn't teach this rapture until 150 years ago. It's an interpretation. It says the dead in Christ will rise after the Antichrist is defeated, God taking home his people. And it's a huge cop-out. I mean, I've read every culture in the last 100 years being murdered thinks they're about to be raptured. And look, that's a Star Trek episode. And I'm not bashing people that believe in a rapture. Fine, believe in that you want. But for heaven's sakes, go fight evil now and stop copping out. Because God's going to say, if you didn't stand up against evil, I don't know you. And I'm not trying to preach, but my gut, my spirit knows that God isn't going to take into his bosom a bunch of wimps, George. What do you say?
No, not at all. And we're not going to come down and get saved from extraterrestrials either. You know, I do believe in extraterrestrial life. I do believe we've been visited. But I think our destiny is in our own hands, Alex.
I agree with that. Watts, real quick comeback, and then we're going to the final caller.
I just wanted to say, just an idea for your money bomb, just maybe you can have your own buzz, like an InfoWars buzz, like I don't know if Sarah Palin has her own buzz, or like the presidential candidates. And maybe you can have your own buzz someday and spread the message that way.
Well, I mean, I want to be clear here. Look, you have the power, sir. I mean, George and I are willing to speak out. He's an eloquent guy. He's, you know, has all these TV awards, Emmys and things. And so he was able to do a top radio show in a major city. He got syndicated. He's done what he's done, but people always think we have the power and that we're going to do something. You have the power. George, can you speak to that?
Well, that's absolutely right. Alex, you know, our success and the growth of our programs are based on the success of our listeners and people. They are the ones who control the destiny, and that's what they have to do. As I said earlier, people, create yourself an island and do the best job you can for yourself and the people you care about. And let that grow. You know, I can't take care of the world, but I can help my family, my grandchildren, and you know what? Then it's your turn.
Yeah, exactly, folks. Thank you so much. Final caller, and we got to let him go because in an hour and 55 minutes, I'm on his show with him at coasttocoastam.com. Matt in Texas, you are the last in line. Go ahead.
Thank you, Alex. Number one, I want to say that I love Jesus and all he does for me and for mankind. Secondly, I love my wife and all she does for me and my family. Third, I love Alex Jones and all he does for me and my country. I love you. You're doing a wonderful job. Keep up the good work that you're doing.
I'll try, man. I try not to fall down. I tell you, I try to be a good person.
We'll prop you up, Alex.
Well, I tell you, George, you know that feeling as you've talked about it. It's like sometimes I want to do things that are a little bad, and I go, I better not. People are counting on me.
That's true. That is true. Put on a disguise.
Well, not stuff really bad, but no, it's like you said, I'm like, I want to have that extra glass of wine. I better not, or you know the stuff. Or
just be smart about things, that's all.
Well, no, it's like you want to exercise more, so you're in better shape. You know what I mean? It's like little stuff we beat ourselves up for.
Yep. Absolutely.
All right, caller. God bless you. Did you have a final question for George Norrie?
Not necessarily. It's for both of you guys.
Okay.
I was working a lot today, and I didn't get the chance to necessarily hear whether or not you documented the attack on the world.
The Federal Reserve.
Yeah,
that's just another useful idiot they've set up. I mean, the whole thing looks like it was a patsy operation. We've seen this so many times. Might be a real extremist, but most of the time they just find some mentally ill patsy that they run.
They found a moron with hate, and they played right in his hands, and he played right into theirs.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have a problem with stings, but like setups, I could go find some idiot and offer him money to blow something up. I mean, it's unbelievable. Thank you for the call. Well, George, I'll be on your show here in about an hour and 53 minutes from now on stations all over the country and coasttocoastam.com. Thank you so much for the time tonight, and I'm going to take us out to break, so I know you're just going to jump off here the line, and I'll
all
see
right,
you.
My friend.
Tonight, any closing comments?
Alex, just keep doing what you're doing. You're a patriot. You know that.
Well, you are a patriot. God bless you, George Norrie. What an amazing individual. He's brought so much truth onto the radio. Really took Coast to Coast AM in a very radical direction, and thank God he did. And it's really been a huge victory for everybody that loves liberty. Here's a little piece Rob Dew did. Dealing with the minions out there trying to hand out our magazines here in Austin, Texas this last weekend. And we'll be right back with Mr. James Wesley Rawls straight ahead on preparedness. Stay with us.
everybody. This is Rob Duke for Infowars.com. I'm out in front of Giant ACL Music Festival. This is 2012. Hundreds of acts. There's going to be over 100,000 people coming here during the day, and I've